We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shemicham Yaakov Bepitach of Solio in Chulin Periches Mishnah Hey Kevas Nachri Vishel Nevela. The way the Gemara explains this phrase, this is all one case where we're speaking about the keva, the stomach of a animal that was shechted by a Nachri, and obviously that animal is a Nevela. If a non-Jew shechts an animal, it doesn't have the status of a Shechita, therefore it's a Nevela. So the problem here is that he shechted a calf. The calf is still nursing from its mother, and therefore, since it's unweaned, it may have milk that in the keva, in the stomach from its mother. That stomach has the enzyme, the rennet, that's from the lining of the stomach that can now curdle that milk. So the Mishnah here tells us, even though the milk came from the calf, from the cow, for it was a kosher milk, but now it's been curdled by the keva, by the stomach of an animal that's a nevela, that was, although it's a kosher animal, it's a calf, a little calf, but it was shechted by a non-Jew. So now we have this concern that this milk has now been curdled by the rennet of a nevela. So says the Mishnah, Harezu Asura. So that the rennet, that is going to be prohibited. The milk is going to be prohibited, even though you say the rennet of the curdled milk from this calf, where did it come from? It came from a kosher animal. Doesn't matter. Now it's part of the calf. It's part of the calf. The calf is a nevela. Since the calf is a nevela, so therefore any rennet that's in there is also going to be aser. Now the Gemara says, and we discussed this a little bit in Avodah Zarah in the second parak, that the psak halach of this Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Hoshua, where we consider the rennet as part of the animal in which it's found, and therefore this is going to the keva. This animal is a nevela, and therefore any milk that's in there has been curdled by the nevela. Nonetheless, that was Rabbi Yeshua's original opinion. Then he changed his mind, and he said, the rennet we consider separate from the animal that it's found. So if that's true, so then here I have the calf, which may be a nevela, but the keva, but the stomach of that, and the enzyme in the lining of the stomach is considered separate, does not have the status of nevela, and therefore the milk that's been curdled there and made into cheese, or to use that rennet itself to make other milk into cheese, so that should not be an issue. In fact, the halacha is that according to this, that the rennet of a nevela is permitted. So although the Mishnah begins telling us Kevas Nachri Shel Nevela Harezu Asura, that was the original halacha of Rabbi Yeshua, so the Mishnah therefore tells us that halacha, but that's in fact not the Psak halacha. Now why is it that we do treat the rennet of a nevela, that stomach, the lining of the stomach, as permitted, and we consider this that it's a separate entity from the rest of the body? So this is a three-way machlokas rishonim, which is important to know so that we can understand what comes later in the Mishnah. So according to Rashi, Rashi believes that we view the rennet as something that's edible. It's no doubt has the status of like a product of milk, because it's there's milk in there, that's assuming that the calf is drinking, is nursing from its mother. So therefore, it's considered an edible product and a milk product. But nonetheless, it's considered separate from the animal itself, which in this case is a nevela. So the same way they have milk that was never digested by an animal, it's not part of the animal itself. So the same thing as well when it comes to the rennet. And therefore, if I have this rennet, since it's edible, you're not allowed to mix it with meat. That certainly should not be allowed. That's the way Rashi understands it. The Rambam says that we don't view the rennet as something that's edible at all. We consider it's waste. And since it's waste and it's not considered food at all, there would be no problem with mixing it with meat. According to Rashi, that it's considered a milk product and food. So therefore, yes, it's maybe separate from the nevela. But now to go and mix that rennet with meat, I'm not permitted to do. According to the Rambam, since it's not edible, it's waste. So therefore, no problem with mixing it with meat. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, he says it depends. If the rennet is congealed, then we consider it waste, like the Rambam, and you can mix it with meat. And but if it's liquid, then we consider like a milk product that it's edible, and it cannot be mixed with meat. So that's so once again, although the Mishnah says the cave of a Nachri of Nevela, where you shechted the animal to Nevela, and what's speaking about the stomach, the rennet, we consider harezu asura. We consider this asur because that the rennet has the status of the nevela. That is not the psak halacha. Hamamid ba'or shel keva kshera. So now the Mishnah says a person curdles milk with the or literally means the lining, the skin of a kosher animal, meaning keva kshera. This is not an nevela. This is the stomach of a kosher animal. And what are you doing? So you're using the actual stomach of a properly shechted kosher animal, and that's going to curdle the milk, make it into cheese. So what's the problem here? So this is not a problem of nevela at all. The problem here is that maybe this is basa b'chalav. Why? Because here I have milk, and the stomach, although it's from a kosher animal, nonetheless, is that not meat? And should I say that this is a problem of milk and meat together? So the Mishnah here says, im yesh benosein tam harezo asura. If the flavor of the stomach is able to be tasted in the cheese itself, so then, we know what that means. That means a ratio of 1 to 60 is okay. 1 in 59, then it does give a flavor. So then the cheese is going to be usur as vasu b'chalav. Same ratio as we normally have. You could ask a non-Jew to taste it. But here, once again, it's not an nevela problem. It's we're non-kosher. We have to worry about the stomach coming from a non-kosher animal. Here's a kosher animal. And but the problem here is that I'm creating basa b'chalav. I have the milk. I'm using the stomach of a kosher animal, but the stomach is meat. So maybe this is basa b'chalav. So all depends on whether this tastes. Im yesh benosein tam, harezo asura. Now there is a very important question, a basic question that we have in Yoredeya. That we should ask on this case. There's something known as a davar hamamid. In fact, the Mishnah used that word. What's a davar hamamid? So here we say it means to curdle. But mamid really means where I'm using something that's causing something to stand literally. It's some type of agent that's basic to the production of whatever substance it is. And a davar hamamid generally does not become batil. So here it sounds like, well, what am I using? I'm using the stomach. The stomach seems to be a davar hamamid. What's a davar hamamid? It's causing the milk to change its shape. The substance of the milk, of the cheese really, is based on this stomach. So how could it be that only if the stomach it gives flavor into the milk, that it's a problem of basur b'chalav, and it's going to be a problem to use that cheese? But if I don't taste the stomach lining, I don't taste the meat in the cheese, then it's okay. But davar hamamid is an exception to the rule of bittul. We've had several exceptions to the rule of bittul. We spoke about a chaticha ru'uya l'hiskabed is an example, a very chashuv piece of meat. So this is also an exception. Something that's a davar hamamid is not going to be batel. So here it shouldn't matter whether the stomach is giving flavor or not. It should be problematic because the stomach itself is a davar hamamid. It is causing the very substance, the mold, the shape of the cheese to be made, to be produced. So, and a classic example, let's say we speak about how much gelatin is there really in this candy anyway. So, okay, maybe it's batel. So even the gelatin, maybe from something non-kosher, non-kosher fish or something like that, it shouldn't be an issue. No, a davar hamamid very much should be an issue. It's the gelatin itself that gives it its shape. So that's a davar hamamid, and therefore will not be batel. That's the problem with you. That's why we try to use kosher gelatin, and we can't, the non-kosher gelatin is problematic because it's a davar hamamid. Yeah, vinegar sometimes can be a davar hamamid as well, causing whatever it is that I'm using, sourdough, when we're making bread, so that yeast, that may be also davar hamamid. So we have examples of that should not be batel. So why here should it be permitted if it's nullified in 60? So the answer is very interesting. When we speak about a davar hamamid only means that whatever this agent is that causes something to take shape, so it only means that we know it's present. Even though I can't taste it, I know that it's present. So that means I know that the meat, the stomach here must be present. If this milk turned into a curdle, then it turned into cheese, that must be that the stomach is there, even though it's not to give me flavor. Now, why then is it okay? Because the meat of the stomach is not something usher. It's not gelatin, which is coming from a non-kosher fish. The meat of the stomach of this kosher animal is a permitted item by itself. So if the fact that there's the fact that it's present to the cheese should not make it usher unless it would make that mixture into basar b'chalav. But basar b'chalav, we know, is only derech bishul, is only where it's done in a cooking type of way. That's not happening over here. So therefore, we can wait until there's a flavor of the stomach in the milk, and only then is going to be a problem. But if the fact that it's present, but it's not causing the basar b'chalav in the cheese, so then we're not going to be worried about that at all. But if, let's say, the milk was curdled by the stomach of an nevela, so that's going to be a problem. Then the cheese is going to be usur, because even if the flavor of the nevela cannot be detected, because that becomes an essential ingredient, an essential agent. It's a davar hamamid, and that davar hamamid is something that's usur, as opposed to meat, which is permitted and only becomes prohibited when it becomes basar b'chalav. Then the Mishnah says, k'sheira sheyonka min hatrefa. Here, regular, I have a kosher animal, and it's a calf, and it's being yonik, and it's suckled that's kosher, but the animal that it suckled from is a trefa. So the mother now is usher. So, well, it's true the animal we're speaking about may be a kosher animal, and it was not shechted and turned into an avela at all. But yonkam and atrefa, but it's a kosher animal that's suckling from a trefa animal. The mother is a trefa, so it's a kosher animal, but has some fatal defect. So said the Mishnah here says, Kavasa, kevasa asura. The keva now is going to be asura. What does that mean? It means the milk that's found in the stomach of this calf that's nursing is going to be forbidden. It's the milk of a trefa, and therefore it's going to be asura. Now here the Mishnah is telling me, okay, good. So obviously the milk is going to be asura, but kevasa asura as well, which means that the rennet of the rennet of this calf, of this little the calf that's suckling from a trefa mother, is going to be asura. Now, well, let's think about why should that be asur. So let's go back to the opinions we had before. According to the first opinion, according to Rashi, what did we say? We said that the rennet, what type of status does it have? We say, well, it's considered as something edible. It's considered something that's milk that's going to be edible. So then we could understand why kevasa is asura. Here you have the rennet to the stomach of a calf, and where did the milk come from? It came from a trefa, and the rennet itself of the keva of this stomach of this calf is considered something we have that has the status of this milk there, no doubt, and it's something that's edible, and it came from a trefa mother, so that's going to be us. But according to the Rambam, what do we say? We say that the rennet, really, according to the halacha, remember, Rabbi Yeshua's original opinion, and then the psak halacha. So the original opinion is that it's usher, but the psak halacha is that rennet should not be an issue. Well, rennet should not be an issue. How do we explain that? We said the rennet is really considered separate from the animal. So according to Rashi, it doesn't matter if it's separate from the animal. At the end of the day, this calf has trefa milk inside, so that the rennet is going to be problematic. But according to the Rambam, we said that rennet is not really what is the milk product. We said it's considered a perusha ba'alma. That means it's considered waste. So if that's true, so then why should it, the fact that it suckled from a trefa animal, the mother was a trefa, it has milk from a trefa, but right now the rennet that you want to talk about, why should that be usher? That's considered waste. That's not considered food at all. So therefore, according to the Rambam, the way to understand this mishnah is this is also the initial psak halacha. This is according to the original Rabbi Yoshua psak, which we don't follow, which is that we consider the rennet as part of the animal. If you consider the rennet as part of the animal, so I understand why this would be problematic, but the halacha doesn't follow that. And the fact that it's part of the calf and not part of the mother doesn't matter. It has milk from the mother, and the mother is a trefa, so that would certainly be a problem. So either way, to different ways to understand what it means, where you have a kshera animal, kosher animal, that suckled from a trefa animal, is the keva usur. According to Rashi, the keva is usur as it's psak halacha, the rennet is usur. And according to why? Because it's food, it's milk, came from a trif, it's not allowed. According to the Rambam, that was the original psak of Zasura, but nowadays it would be permitted. Then the Mishnah says, trefa sheyan kamenakshera, the opposite way. Here you have a trefa animal that is suckling from a kosher animal. So the milk that the trefa has inside of it came from a kosher milk. Kevasam uteres mipnei shekanus b'nei eha, says the Mishnah, the rennet of this calf, let's say it's a calf, is a trefa that suckled from the mother, but it's the milk that's in there is kosher. So the keva is going to be mutter. Why? Because it is literally kanus b'nei, it's gathered inside in its intestines, in the insides. So what does that mean? Why do I not have to be worried that the animal we're speaking about right now is a trefa? Because this is the final psak of Rabbi Yehoshua, where he rejected the original chumrah. This is saying that even though the animal may be a trefa, the rennet that it has, the stomach that it has, is considered separate from the animal. So it doesn't matter that it has it doesn't matter that it happens to be a trefa right now, because we look at the rennet as a separate entity, and the only thing that it has inside is milk, and that milk was from a kosher mother, and therefore the Mishnah says, the keva is going to be mutter. Perches Mishnah Vav. Chomer ba'chelif mi'badam, v'chomer ba'dam mi'bachelif. Here we're speaking about two isurei kares. Chelif, we spoke about that many times, which is found, certain fats found can be peeled off, but from the back of the animal, as opposed to shuman, which is regular fat, which is permitted. And dam, of course, we know we spoke about dam, the isur of dam, with his kares, at least, and maybe malchus, but certainly only kares when it's the dam anefesh, the dam that spurts out at the beginning of the shechita. So the Mishnah here tells us that there's a chumer, even though they're both chayiv kares, and the Torah speaks about them, Parshas Achrimos, they're lumped together, chelev and dam, we're lo so chelev, we can't eat. Nonetheless, there's a chumer that chelev has over dam, the chumer ba'dam mi ba'chelev, and the chumer that dam has over chelev. So the Mishnah goes through each of these. Chomer ba'chelev, sha'chelev, mo'alin bo. Number one, the chelev has that dam does not have, and that is the isser of me'ila. Person who gets hana from chelev of a korban is chayev to bring a korban me'ila. And this is true by kachim kalm as well. Although there's no me'ila when the animal's alive, because it belongs to the owner, nonetheless, there's me'ila in the chelev after you do this rikas hadam. Kachim kalm says, kol chelev lashem. That includes the emurim kachim kalm. There's a violation of me'ila. So when it comes to chelev, there's going to be a potential problem of me'ila. Chelev is what we place on the mizbeach. So you have a korban, there's going to be a problem of me'ila. You don't have that by dam, as we'll see. V'chayavin alav mishum pigel. If a korban becomes pigel, you're going to have to go through all of that again. We spoke about that many times in Zvachim. You shechted the animal, I'm asked to throw, to do the zikas adam, or eat from the basar, or be makter the me'irim chutz lizmano, and you now eat from the chelev of that animal, you chayv karetz. The pigel will apply to chelev. V'nosar, if a person, let's say, ate from the leftover, the chelev of the leftover animal. So this also is going to be the Isra of Nosa. You have courage for that as well. So once again, well, Chumra Chelev has Mi'ila, Chelev has the Isra of Pigol, Chelev has the Isra of Nosa, Vitame. A person ate from the Chelev of Korban when he was Tame, he's Chayev for eating Chelev, and for eating the Kachim Bituma. So in all of these cases, he's Chayev for the Isra of Chelev, and over and above that, so there's a violation of Mi'ila. Over and above that, if it's Pigol, he's Chayev for eating Pigol. Over and above the Isra of Chelev, there's the Isra of Nosar, if it's Nosar, and if it's Tameh, and if he's Tameh rather, so there's Chelev and Tumah. Now, there should be an important question that we should ask, and that is, haven't we discussed already the principle of Ein Isra Chalal Isra? Once you already have one Isra prohibition, you can't now superimpose another Isra upon it. So there's already an Isra of eating Chelev. How can you now tack on, eating being Chayev Kares for Pigol? Well, you can only Chayev Kares once. But the point is, why should there be an Isra Pigol at all take effect? Or no, sir, it was already Asur because of Chelev. Now there's a Chutz Lizmano upon it. So now you're going to tell me there's an Isra Pigol as well? Or no, sir, it was left over. Or Tame. What do you mean it was already Asur because it was Chelev? So now person happens to me is Tame. You can't add on another Isra. There's already an Isra that exists. So the explanation is as follows. We have exceptions to that rule of Ein Isra Chalal Isra. And one of those exceptions is known as when you have an Isra Kolal. An Isra Kolal literally means an inclusive prohibition. That is where you have an ister that applies to other items that may have been permitted previously. So take, for example, pigul. So pigul applies to the whole animal. Any part of the animal, there's going to be an ister of pigul. Chelev is only one part of the animal, the forbidden fat from the back of the animal. So since pigul now is an ister kolel, it's an ister that now applies to other items as well, not only the chelev, but other parts of the animal. Then, therefore, we can superimpose the isser on the chelev as well, because there are isurim that are now added on to other parts of the animal. It can be added on to the chelev as well. So, ein isser chalal isser will be where you're adding on another isser to that same item itself, and only that item. But here, pigul is added on, or tumah, let's say. So, tumah applies, when you're tameh, to any part of that animal of a carbon that you eat, bitumah. Not only the chelev. And therefore, we can say that one iser can be chal on the other iser. Take the example of noser as well. Noser is an example of an iser mosif. And what iser mosif usually means, not an iser kolel, we said, in a more inclusive, which means it applies to other items that were previously permitted. Iser mosif means it usually means it applies to more people. But here, it's not exactly more people. Here, we're speaking about it's more iser mosif means it's more extensive. In what way? So it's before the chelev became noser. So a human being could eat it, but the mizbeach could eat it. So we'll look at the mizbeach like a person. The mizbeach could eat it. You could burn it on the mizbeach. The mizbeach could consume it. Chelev is placed on the mizbeach. But once it became nosar, so now not only can't you eat it because it's an iser chelev, which existed before, but the mizbeach can't eat it. So that's an additional, a more extensive prohibition. And there, since the chelev now has a separate iser which would apply to the mizbeach, which it did not exist originally before it was nosar, when it was just an iser chelev, so now that extra iser chelev can apply to the person himself, because once it can apply to the mizbeach, we can tack on the iser as well, because it's an iser mosif. And then the Mishnah says, of course, Masha Ein Kein Badam. In other words, these examples that we gave are all chumras that you have of Chelev over Dam. Chelev is Me'ila, there's Pigul, there's Noser and Tameh, but not when it comes to Dam. Why not? Because the Pasuk says, Va'ani Nisativ Lachem Al HaMizbech L'Kaper. What's Dam there for? It's there to make an atonement. The blood is for Kapara purposes and no other purpose. That's the pasuk that teaches us lechapara nisate v'lo lemeila. Gemara Yuman Daf Nun Tes on the base teaches us that's only for kapara, not for meila. So there's no iser meila when it comes to dam. That takes it to meila. Why is there no iser of pigul? Because pigul, we went through this zvachim many times. Pigul only applies to something that has a matir. Meat, the emurim on the mizbeach, that has a matir. What's matir? Them, the sprinkling of the blood. But the blood itself is the matir. So if you are the matir, you're the one that permits other things, so the iser of pigul does not apply. What about nosar? So here we have two miutim, two exclusionary terms in the pasuk. It says, v'ani nisativ lachem. This is when it comes to dam, okay? So lachem, it should be yours. And also says, ki adam hu banefesh chaper hu. So these two words come to exclude dam from the isra of nosar and the isra of tumah. Those are exclusionary terms, lachem and hu. But then the Mishnah concludes, v'chomer badam. But there is a chomer that dam has over chelev. What's that? Shahadam nohoig behem of achai v'ov. Beit mei mitorim. This revealing dam applies to behem achai and an oaf, and even non-kosher birds and wild animals. V'hachelev eino noheg ele b'behema tahor b'lvad. The issue of chelev is only when it comes to a kosher domesticated animal. Ki kol ochel chelev mena behema asher yakir b'mena la'ish el Hashem v'nechrisa hanefesh ocheles me'ameha.